There's a couple of illustrations here that deals with relevancy. I'm going to keep moving because I want to try to get through here. You know, the whole idea there, you know, many of our young people in their early 20s, one of the biggest concern that they have about the church is they say that the church is not relevant, that it's not meeting their needs. You know, and a lot of these kids, they've moved out of the home, they've gone to school, they're in transition, some of them are getting married, some of them may be having children, and they're saying, you know, the church does not have anything that can help me deal with life where I am, because my life is changing. And then they look at the church and they say the church itself is so caught up in trying to satisfy its own needs that it does not even look out in the community to see what's going on there. So they're saying that the church is irrelevant to them. And that is something that we have to look at, because what people are looking for today is relevancy in the church. You know, and that's the reason why they're looking beyond Christianity. They're looking at some of these many isms, because they're trying to find something that helps make sense out of life. And too many times, you know, churches, they have answers, but those answers do not translate into everyday life. And I think the only way that we can give them everyday life answers is when we are living life, but we're living life with Christ. Then we can tell them something. And so, how can the gospel make sense out of what I'm dealing with today? That's the question. How can it address my felt needs? I don't need head knowledge. I need something that will impact the present condition of my life. In John, Jesus begins a conversation with this Samaritan woman who he asked for a cup of water. Remember that? And as they go on, they have different, you know, they have a little conversation there, and Jesus kind of throws out this thing to this woman. He tells her that I have water that you can drink and you'll never thirst again. And so this lady became very interested in it. You know, Jesus is kind of throwing out what he perceived to be this woman's felt need. But as he threw that out, he began to expound upon it and began to talk more into her life about some of the issues that she was facing. She had been, you know, married a number of times. And she was right then and there committing adultery with a man that was not her husband. Well, the whole premise of his conversation is this, something that we can learn, is that this conversation was not focused upon Jesus' agenda as much as it was focused upon the woman's agenda, and her agenda was water. And it's a lesson to us when we go out and we connect with people in the community. It's not about us doing all the talking, and it's not about us, you know, sharing information about 28 fundamental beliefs, but the most important thing that we can do is begin to focus upon their agenda. What is important to them? What's happening in their life? Start our conversations with them, because many people are hurting. Many people are having issues and problems. Many people need help in those areas, and that is what we need to focus upon. Now, I want to share some local demographics here. I have some demographics that I can print out to give to someone here who is good at that stuff, reading statistics and things like that. Is there anyone here like that who likes statistics? I can print out some books for you that are focused upon a 7-mile radius here in Chatsworth. So I'm just going to share some observations. I'm not a statistician, but I can read a couple of these things. In this area here, when we talk about felt needs, the demographics say that people are somewhat low in their religiosity, which probably means that, you know, they don't focus on religious things as much as they do other things in their life. And so they might be focusing upon things like work, or they may be dealing with family issues. They might have hobbies that they like to spend some time doing. You know, there are other things that takes precedence over spiritual issues. Doesn't mean that they're not looking for spiritual answers to their needs, but they are open to things that might make their life better that may be in the religious sector. Are you following me? So they're not walking around saying, oh, I wonder what church I can go to. They're concerned about certain things, but they're not saying no to religion. So that's a good thing. Now, this might blow you away. What do you think the average age here in this radius, 7 miles around this church, the average age, you're going to be surprised, because I was surprised. 53. Any other takers? 45. Okay, I'm going to throw it out. What was that? 65. There was one more. 38. That's it. 38 is the average age around here. 12% of the people in this 7 mile radius, 12% are 55 to 65 years old, and 14% are 65 and over. That was interesting. Now listen to this. This is your community around this church. 57% of the population is married. 57%. Now, statistics say that, you know, 51% they were saying is now divorced. Well, 57 is married, and 14% of people around here are divorced. And so if you were to think about it, you might say, well, maybe we can give some parenting or some marriage seminars. Maybe we can go out in the community and do that for folk to kind of help strengthen their marriage relationship. Or you might even think about doing some type of divorce recovery. Just some thoughts. Now, of all the households in this area, 69% of all households are married with children. 69% married with children, which says a lot about the possibilities of vacation Bible school programs or pathfinders or other things that are related to kids. Or even the idea of doing a parent night out where you provide babysitting. 21% of households are parented by single mothers. Okay. The highest educational attainment in the areas of high school or GED is 38% of the population has a high school diploma or GED. 17% has some college with no degree. And listen to this, 28% has no high school diploma. 28.13% has no high school diploma. That says a lot about possible ways of meeting needs in the community. Average household income is $48,000. And this next statistic blew me away. 54% of workers in this community are blue collar, and 46% are white collar. Wow. And the main jobs around here are in the areas of manufacturing, wholesale retail, and educational services. And we're talking about felt needs right now. Felt needs. People in this community are very traditional in their ways, and they don't like change. And so if you come up with some new high-fangled idea of doing something, they might not show up. But what you may want to do is to tap into some things in the community that might be considered annual traditional things. So if there's like a big fair in the area, when that's probably where you need to make your plans today. Well, we're going to go there, we're going to set up a booth, and we're going to do X, Y, Z. Or you may start a tradition or something that can become, you know, something you do on an annual basis here at the church or wherever it might be. It might be, you know, an annual Christmas program or something like that. Whatever it is, they like traditional things. Another interesting thing is that the community is somewhat sociable, and so they are open to connecting with other people. You know, they like to be at home, doing what they do at home, but they also like fellowship. So that's a good thing. And then one more thing, people are willing to help folk. know, people have this wider view of things. They will go out and they will help a neighbor, which means if you're going to be doing some type of outreach to relieve some felt needs in the community, then the way you do it is that the church doesn't go out and do it on their own, but you enlist the help of other people who can come alongside of you. You do it together, and as you're doing it, then you have the opportunity to allow Christ to be seen through you as you do ministry to other people. They may not call it ministry, but you know what you're doing, and people see that, and they say, why are they different than I am? Why am I bugging out because I'm having all these issues and they seem to have life under control? My life is under control because Christ is at the head of my life. So these are some great things that you can share. Jesus prefaced his charge to the church with these words in Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which lets us know that there is no problem that is too big. There is no challenge that is too large. There's no issue in this community that is too much, too complex, or too insurmountable that Jesus cannot provide the answers to. Amen. All authority is in his hand. Right. He can deal with it all. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. That's a good 1 o'clock. Amen. We're wrapping it down now. And one of the other things I want to share with you is that even if you come up with some ideas to meet some of the needs in the community, understand that you don't have to create a brand new program. If there are programs already going on in the community, you can actually join in with them. Because it's not about the Adventist church getting all the glory and saying this is our program. But if you're there working with another group and people find out that you're an Adventist, guess what? The question is going to be, what has brought you out here to help us do this? And you say, because I just want to spread the love of Jesus Christ. And they're going to say in their minds, well, I want some of that. Where do you go to church? Are you with me? See, if the church, if they're not coming here, but we're going there, our goal is to be discipled so that we can disciple other people. And they will see what you do. Another story here. Can I share one more story? You okay? Okay, the bean's not burning at home on the timer, right? Okay. When I came into this church, you know, and I used to work for Xerox Corporation. And they, you know, I used to go from building to work on different machines and all. And in those years, man, I would have my religious music playing in my car and praying all the time and just saying, God, use me in some way to share your good message with someone else. And of course, I couldn't do that in the office to clients, but I would see people on the streets. Well, one day they made a mistake of putting with me a new person to train. And I'm riding down the road with my music playing and stuff, and he's just kind of listening. He said, you go to church? I said, yeah, I do go to church. And he said, I used to go to church, but I don't believe in that stuff no more. I just left it at that. Next thing I know, I'm riding down the road and the car gets a flat tire. And so I get out, he gets out, and we change the flat tire. We put the bad tire in the trunk and, you know, we get cleaned up and we get back in the car and we start driving down the road. And this guy's looking at me. I'm not going to tell you what I said to him coming out of the military. I said, let me sugarcoat it. I said, are you liking on me or something, dude? You're looking at me so much? He says, nah. He says, I'm just blown away. I said, blown away by what? He said, you just had a flat tire. I said, yeah. And you just got out and fixed it. I said, well, it's not going to fix itself. He says, well, if that was me, I would have been cursing and kicking that tire and just angry at the world. He says, but you got out and just fixed it and didn't say a word. I said, yeah. He says, did Jesus do that for you? I said, absolutely. I said, I don't do what I used to do. He says, I'm not fixing this up. He says, I might be interested in that. Disciples, being a disciple of Christ, God will use you to reach out to other people when you are not even intending to do so. It's powerful stuff. Let me see, where are we? We're going to have to skip a couple of these things real quick. Fourth principle, relationships are the way to close the back door. You know, people come into the front door and they leave the back door mainly because they do not make friends in the church. Relationships are the things that will keep people here. This is one reason why it is so important that as we go through these meetings, that you make it your effort to just get to know some folk or some person that you don't know. If you see them sitting over there, just go sit down and talk with them and say, hey, what's your name? You know, do you live around here? How did you hear about this meeting? Were you born here? Just simple things. And whatever they share, you take that information and you ask another question. Your goal is to build a relationship with them, just talking with them. You're not going to try to lead them to Christ right then and there. What you're simply trying to do is just build a relationship with them. That is the most important thing for us to do in the meetings here. You know, it's very easy for us to stand around as members and begin to talk with one another and talk to people who we know. But our goal during these meetings is to not talk to people we know, but to talk to people who we don't know. So if you have some stranger who's in the church who's sitting there and four, five, six people have come up and talked to him or her, guess what they're thinking? They're either thinking these people are crazy or these people are friendly. I kind of like this because statistics show us that everybody's looking for some type of relationship. People want to belong. Okay? So that is the main part of this point here. And I want to point out that, you know, as you are building relationship with them, be patient with them. Don't try to push it beyond where it might be going. Just get to know them a little here, a little there. Don't try to cram yourself into their life, but keep boundaries, represent or be sensitive to their boundaries. And another interesting thing that deals with this, and we'll go to our last point, is when you're building relationships with people who are joining the church, you know, we need to kind of be aware of who they are. You know, you want to try to find something that you have in common with them, common age, common marital status or family status, common interests and problems. Let's say there might be, you know, someone here who's young and they're sitting there and you might be a young person. You might be able to connect with them a little better. Or you might have a young family there with children. You may be a young family with children. You know, you need to go over and talk with them and share with them. Or you may find out that this person over here likes mountain biking and you like mountain biking or hiking, then guess what? You need to try to go and connect with them. That is what this relationships are all about, closing the back door. And then the last point, because I have overstayed my time, y'all are going to say, don't come back next time. Is this right here? Transitions provide a window of opportunity. We don't know when people are ready to receive Jesus Christ. But there are certain things that might take place in their life that might render them ready. There are certain things that can take place in your life, things that are expected and things that are not expected. For example, a person that might get married, that's a transitional time in their life, and they might be open to spiritual things. Person who just has a child, that's a transitional time. They may be thinking in their minds, I want this person to grow up knowing about God. That's a transitional time. Someone may lose a loved one, or they may get sick, or they may lose a job. These things kind of challenge folk. Those are transitional times in which people might be open to the gospel message. We need to be aware of that because there are people in this community that are going through some things. If we don't know that they're going through them or if we're not sensitive to them, we might miss opportunities that God has opened up for us to make an impact in our life. I'm going to share this little story with you, and then we're going to watch a video, and then we're going to have prayer so you can go home. When I first came into the church, there was this organist, pianist, who the church had hired. And this guy was good. I mean, he was trained at some school up in New York. I mean, some, you know, big name, something or another. And he was really good. So the church hired him to provide special music and to oversee the choir in the church. We had three Bible workers in that church. Three Bible workers who went and worked with this gentleman trying to get him to join that church, and he would not. He says, I enjoy coming here, being with you, but I don't want to be a part of what you have to offer. And this went on for a number of years. Well, the church had gotten word that he was going through some personal issues, some challenges, and he was asking for prayer, so we were praying for him. And we were right in the middle of an evangelistic effort. I still remember, you know, this guy would be up there on that organ, and he would play the, you know, doing the appeal. You know, the pastor's making his appeal. You know, every eye is closed. You know, every heart is praying, and, you know, the music is playing. I mean, and the music as this guy's playing, it's just sopping with this appeal, this plea for people to come and give their life to Jesus Christ. And I'm there on my knees, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, the music stops. And I'm thinking, well, what happened? And I hear the pastor go, amen. And I did the forbidden and opened up my eyes doing prayer. And this guy had gotten up off the organ and came down to the front and gave his life to Jesus Christ. I don't know how many evangelistic efforts he had gone through, but he was going through issues. And that timing, the timing of those meetings, and God work on this person's heart just kind of came together, and this man became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. But we don't know what transitions might do or how God might use them to bring people to him. But I want to encourage you to be aware of folk that are dealing with transition in their lives. That might be a great time to share with them the gospel message. The last thing I want to share with you, because this is all about, these are the points that we've talked about, focus on outreach as a priority. Social networks are a key vehicle. Be aware of felt needs. Relationships are the way to close the back door. Transitions provide a window of opportunity. All of these things, we have the assurance that Jesus is going to be with us until the very end as we attempt to do the work that he's called us to do, right? All of this is done with the whole premise of leading people to Jesus Christ. There are some people who will be ready. There are many who will not be ready. That is not ours to ask. We're not to ask that question, but what we're to do is to do what God has asked us to do and be disciples. Be disciples. Those who go out to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This video that we're going to play right now, will it work for us? It's just a gives you an idea of what people out there may be thinking as we are moving towards this evangelistic effort. Let's see if we can get it to go.
When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Here I am. There you are. Here I am, desperate for love, for truth. What are you going to do when you leave this building? Are you going to share with me what you've been learning here today? Or are you just going to bottle it up and pull it out next week for your friends? Now, when I say share, I'm not talking about every tactic you've used on me in the past, like judging my every move, telling me I'm a bad person, pointing fingers, giving me disgusting looks. And my favorite is when you tell me that I'm lost. I don't even know what that means to be lost. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? Now, I know I'm a bad person. I've done bad things, but I don't need you to tell me that. What I need is for you to pick me up when I fall down, to be there when I'm broken. Yes, there's something missing in me. There's a void in my heart that I don't know how to fill. You have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. You know that person that I need to know. So I'm watching your every move. I'm watching where you go and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine, to know that there's something more here than this. I mean, this can't be it, really. And I think you know that. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, ready and willing to do whatever it takes. Hey, it may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. But I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. Honestly, I'll probably resist you. I'll probably argue with you and laugh at you. Even when you fall, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. So I'm going to ask you, when's it going to happen?
Pray. Father, we just want to just pause and say thank you for being with us in all that we've done this morning, this afternoon. Father, in our hearts, we want to answer this unspoken plea. We want to be your hands, your feet, your heart that will reach out to the community around us, not just for this event that's starting next week, but for every day, every weekend. We pray that you will give us hearts of boldness and hearts of love, hearts filled with you. And Father, we ask that you would just bless our efforts, that you'll be with us. And Lord, that you would just show us, grow us into people who can be used of you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.